Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your name above every other name. A name that has saved us. And we thank you for that salvation. And as we speak words, we ask that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch our hearts and set our minds to be determined to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Gerald, come on in and eat. It's supper time. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't call it supper. It was dinner. We'd usually be outside playing, and a mother would call, and we would come in. I don't know today if that's even relevant. I don't know if families still call their children for supper anymore. Do families even eat together? I believe that if I think about my life now, and of course our kids are grown and on their own, and the schedule that my wife and I have, we get to eat on Sabbath, but during the week, their lives are just too helter-skelter. And it's unfortunate that we have come to that, because you can learn a lot at supper, at the dinner table, or breaking bread. The early church frequently got together to fellowship and to break bread. They would bake the loaves, and then they would break it and share it with one another, and also they would share the grape, the juice of the grape. And that was a very important part of the meal, because many times the grape juice was safer to drink than the water. Well, the church is steeped in the tradition of supper, the Lord's Supper. Now, in some churches, in churches with a Catholic background, they call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. A blessing was pronounced over the bread and wine about 100 A.D., and they picked that tradition and they kept it going. But the proper designation, from the scriptural standpoint, is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. And I want you to turn there, and I want to ask your apology ahead of time for not insulting your intelligence. I know that you know this. We have communion, and if you've been a member of this church, you've done it many times. But just for the sake of just refreshing, if you'll just look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20, and you'll see the actual words, the Lord's Supper. And I'll read it for you while you're turning there in verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. There it is, the Lord's Supper. Now, what was going on in the Corinthian church? Unfortunately, they were members who were selfish and indulgent. They would come together for a fellowship meal. And what would happen, unfortunately, I know this doesn't happen at Fallbrook. This happens some other place, but not here at Fallbrook. They would have plenty of food there for the fellowship meal. And you know how it is at a fellowship meal. The line is long. And if you happen to be at the front of the line, you know what some people were doing? They were piling up their plates. And then, if you were unfortunate enough to be at the back, then you got, you know that dish that's left there that nobody wants? Come on now, y'all, don't act like you don't know about that. That's all that's left for those who are in the back. And so they were left hungry and humiliated. This is true. I'm glad that doesn't go on here. Can you say amen? Maybe that's a hint. You've seen that. But the Lord's Supper, Paul says, the Lord did not leave me with that kind of tradition. He says this about the Lord's Supper. Well, I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. And then in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I am not surprised that an important institution as the Lord's Supper, it would be taken and perverted so. About a month ago, I was on vacation. I really try and keep up with what's going on in the world and in news, especially as it relates to religious issues. I really pay close attention. But I missed this one. I'll blame it on being on vacation. In fact, it was the 27th of July. Associated Press came out with a notice about, they called it a new theory on the Last Supper. This is 1 month ago. And there was so much interest. Listen to this, Danny, because I know that, you know, you're really into what's happening on the web. One Thursday morning, they had 15 million hits, crashed down the server and everything, on the Lord's Supper. What could that be? What could generate that kind of interest? Well, let me share with you what happened. There's a scientist they called him an information technologist, an amateur scholar. He was interested in Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. Most of you are familiar with that painting. And so what he did, he took some translucent film and he made a digital image of it, made two copies, and took one copy and put it on top of the other, matching the two. Christ is in the center of that painting, if you're familiar with that. He matched the two heads together because Leonardo painted that so that Christ would be the very center of it, put those two together, and guess what he saw in that painting? Let me share it with you. He saw at the end of the table, that's what they say they saw, he saw at the end of the table a knight. The Knights Templar, you might be familiar with them. Have you ever seen anything that has to do with the Crusades? They have on the white stole and the cross, the red cross in the center. They were called the Order of the Temple. And so what he saw, they said they saw in that painting of the Da Vinci, of the Last Supper by Da Vinci, was a knight sitting on the end of that table. And also, you know what they saw? They saw a figure there that looked like a woman who was holding a baby. And you know what they concluded? That was Jesus and Mary Magdalene's baby. And they saw a cup in the center. Now, if you've seen his painting does not have a cup in the center. But this one, when they put those two together, they had a cup. And so what they concluded, that this was the first Eucharist. That's the word they use. And so everybody's excited about that. I did find a site that had a picture of it. I looked at it. I have to admit, that did look like another guy on the end of the table. I have to admit that. And whether he was a knight or not, I don't know. And it did look like somebody holding a baby. But folk, hold it. It's so easy today to get distracted by stuff like that. Let me just show you just simply what the Lord's Supper is all about. So if you hear about that, you won't get caught up into that and lose your way. Just go to the 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. This is it. Simple as this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what it's about. It's not about Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code. That's where they're getting. They just love to get into that. It's not about that. It's about for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's supper time. Jesus is coming back real soon. Can you say amen? I believe that. And so what Paul wants us to know, he stresses the memorial aspect of the supper, and he wants us to remember that Jesus died for you and I. Amen? You've got to know that every time you sit at the table, know that Jesus died for you and shed his blood for you. And not only that, Jesus is coming back again. Can you say amen? It's a hope that we have. And in Matthew 26 and verse 29, he says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." God has promised to have a table. And when we read Revelation chapter 19, the scripture that was so well read, we find that one day Jesus is going to have a marriage supper. And I can't wait. You know, this week, President and Mrs. Bush had a glorious announcement. They announced that their daughter, Jenna, is engaged to be married. I think that's wonderful, don't you? And gee, possibly, they have not shared the details, but it's a good chance that she has a possibility of getting married in the Rose Garden of the White House. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, you'd never forget that event. But, you know, I have that strange feeling that I know that a lot of invitations will be sent out, but I don't think I'm going to get one. There's a pretty good chance that you won't get one. Even though they announced it to all the world, only a select few will get at that wedding. And that's understandable. I have a painting. You may have seen this. It's entitled The Invitation. They're larger ones, just the one I have because it fits well. It says, "You're invited to come dine with me. From now through all eternity, believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and dine with Jesus as your host. To live in heaven eternally, all you must do RSVP. You know what's so great about the marriage supper? He invites everyone that's ever lived. Everybody's invited. Nobody is excluded. And you know what the invitation is? He has us giving out the invitation. It's called the gospel, the good news. We give out the invitation to people, telling the people that Jesus is having a marriage supper and he wants you to come. Does everyone accept? Do you think everyone's going to accept? You see, we have this concept still that everybody's going to heaven. We don't have that. Heaven is for everybody, but not everybody's going. Because they have the right to choose. I don't know about you, but he has given me the invitation, and I plan on being there. How about you? And every time we sit at this table, we're saying, "Jesus, I plan to be there at that table of the marriage supper." And you know, it's going to have more meaning. You know why? I really thought about this. When this old world gets through with us, I mean, If you're paying attention to what's happening in the world and in the news, when this old world gets through with us, it's just so appropriate for God, as he says he's preparing a place for us, that he has, when we get to the kingdom of God, that he's going to have a table set up for all of us. And I'm going to, you know, I hope we have a Fallbrook section. Amen? And we kind of sit close together. But I'll tell you, Fallbrook, I'm going to be up and down, because I'm going on down that table that's miles in length, and I'm looking for Joseph. That's my Bible hero. I want to know how he got from prison to the second in command in Egypt. I want to talk to Joseph. So I'm going to be up and down that table looking for the saints of the ages. Somebody told me in the first service they're looking for George Washington. I hope George is there. Amen. I want you to look for me there. Amen. I want you to look for me there. Jane, I'm going to look for you there. And won't that be a happy time? Our troubles will be over. No more issues and the things of life. And again, when we go through the time of trouble, and then when we end up there at the table with God, Betsy, I'm going to pinch you, and I want you to pinch me back to see if we are really there. We have to check to see if we are really there. Ellen White, in her great writings, early writings, and I've shared this with you before. It's one of my, I just love this quote, so I'll share it over and over. She said the same thing. Soon I heard his lovely voice talking about Jesus. Come, my people, for you have come out of great tribulation and done my will, and suffered for me. Come in to supper, for I will gird myself and serve you. And we shouted. I know y'all scared of shouting. But she says, we shouted, hallelujah, glory. You know, there's going to be some shouting at that table. Now, we may eat with manners, but our voices, we're just going to be exclaiming the goodness of God at that table. Hallelujah, glory. And she says, and I saw a table of pure silver. It was many miles in length. Yet our eyes could extend over it. See, we're going to have telescopic eyes like Adam had. That's right. You won't need to. These will be gone. That's right. And you thought you had good eyes before you got LASIK, but when God changes us, we'll be able to look down without even getting up and spot people. She said, "I saw the fruit of the tree of life." I wonder what that tastes like. The fruit of the tree of life. And manna, and almonds, and figs, pomegranates, and grapes, veggie meat. I'm just teasing. You won't even think about veggie meat anymore. And I asked Jesus to let me eat of the fruit. And he says, not now. Not now. What a day that'll be when we'll all join together at the marriage supper. What a celebration it'll be. Do you know in the Oriental tradition, when they, after the wedding procession and so on, and they would gather together, do you know that their feasting and gathering would go on for days? I mean, you're talking about celebrating. They knew how to celebrate. Oh, what a day that will be when we're there with the saints of all the ages. I don't know how long that's going to go on, but it's going to go on for a while. Maybe it'll go on from Sunday to Sabbath. We'll have to break for Sabbath. Amen? But what a day that'll be. We have the privilege to come together as the body of Christ and share and join together. We have the privilege of washing one another's feet. You know, at the end of Vacation Bible School, the last theme of that day was the story from John of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So the children had a demonstration of that last night in the Vacation Bible School. So I thought it was fitting that we would end Vacation Bible School on the Sabbath with that particular story. And so we have the privilege today to wash one another's feet, preparing for that day when we will come to the table and enjoin our hearts with Him. This is His table, not ours. And when we get to the kingdom of God, I read somewhere, it said that the marriage supper is not going to be about our righteousness. You know, the kind that we do when we have fellowship, it's going to be about His. He's going to replace that righteousness of filthy rags with His. That's how we're going to get at the table. Not because of us, but because of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege to join our hearts together with You again and with one another. As we wash one another's feet, may the sins that have been accumulated over this past quarter be washed away. As we wash one another's feet, may we do it with humble hearts. As servants, may it inspire us to continue to serve humanity. And then as we come back to the table, may we come back with hearts overjoyed, with hearts celebrating the good news that Jesus has saved us and coming again to take us home to be with Him. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to separate into for our washing of feet. If you didn't come prepared, we still invite you to participate, and you can remain here until we come back. There'll be an area for families in our fellowship hall, and there should be an area for our men and women. I think the last time most of us ended up gathering there in the fellowship hall. We want you to be comfortable in whatever you're willing and able to do. And again, if you didn't come prepared, we want you to still remain here, and we'll come back shortly and partake of the bread and the grape. So let's dismiss at this time. There should be some deacons and elders. Our fellowship hall is out here to my left and your right, and let's govern ourselves accordingly. Thank you. I just want to say, for those who are guests and you might be visiting, we have open communion. So please feel comfortable to join us and be a part of our gathering together. Again, we'd love for you to be a part of what we do. Here from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, starting at verse 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I'm going to invite you to kneel as far as possible, and Joe is going to pray for the bread, the emblem of the broken body, and then Danny's going to pray for the wine, the emblem of the spilled blood. So let us kneel as far as possible.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your plan to save us here on planet Earth, and especially for your Son's willingness to come to this polluted and sin-infested earth and to allow his healthy body to be bruised and beaten in order that we can have the opportunity for eternal life. That starts with a marriage supper of the Lamb that the pastor described. We thank you for this and ask that you continue to prepare each one of us to be there. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, as you commanded us, we are here to remember and to celebrate your sacrifice. We thank you for the blood that you shed, Lord, and for the healing that it brings to our lives. We ask just now that you would bless us, Lord, as we confirm this covenant with you. Amen.
Amen. Have we overlooked anyone that desires to be served? This represents the body of Christ. Reading from the actual scriptures from Matthew, God asks us to take, eat. This is my body. Let's eat together. Amen. You'll notice the large cup in the center. That's the Lord's cup. Anybody deserves a big cup, it's God, right? But you'll notice that we all have the cups the same size. And when we sit at his table one day, there'll be enough for everyone, even the person at the end of the line. Amen? They all get the same amount or as much as the person at the beginning. Only God could do that. Amen? In other words, we'll be satisfied. Reading from the scriptures again, Jesus says that I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. God's going to be there. I plan to be there. How about you? I won't get there because I'm so good. I'll get there because he's so good. Amen? I know you know that. May that be our prayer. Drink from it, all of you. All of you. Amen. There should be a holder in front of you. You can leave your cups there and we'll collect it afterwards. 6620. We invite you to stand. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful service where we can sit at your table. Lord, we are longing for that day when we'll be a part of the marriage supper, where we will join you throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. We can only say hallelujah, glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.